Ever notice how the moment you sit down to create something meaningful, your mind suddenly remembers a dozen urgent tasks? That's not coincidence, it's resistance. This invisible force targets any activity that rejects immediate gratification for long-term growth. Writing that screenplay, launching that business, improving your health, or pursuing spiritual advancement. Though we can't see it, resistance radiates like an energy field from our work and potential, pushing us away from our calling with remarkable cunning. It fabricates excuses, seduces with distractions, and bullies with fear. Like a skilled lawyer, it reasons persuasively. Like a criminal, it threatens mercilessly. Yet understanding resistance offers profound liberation. It's not personal. It operates with the indifference of rain, a natural force blocking evolution and growth. You're not broken when you struggle to create. Paradoxically, resistance serves as an infallible compass. The more important a pursuit is to your soul's evolution, the more resistance you'll feel. That business you've dreamed of starting for years? The intensity of your procrastination reveals its importance. Everyone experiences this battle. Even Henry Fonda threw up before performances at age 75. The warrior and artist live by the same code. The battle must be fought anew every day. How do we fight this formidable enemy? First, embrace productive stupidity, the liberating willingness to attempt what rational minds deem impossible. Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic when experts said it couldn't be done. Steve Jobs envisioned computers in every home when mainframes filled rooms. They succeeded because they didn't comprehend how impossible their tasks were. Second, don't think, act. Analysis paralysis kills creation. We can revise after acting, but accomplish nothing until we begin. Third, practice stubborn persistence. Once committed, the worst thing is stopping. We don't need heroism, just mulish, ornery persistence, sinking our teeth into resistance's backside and refusing to let go. Fourth, cultivate blind faith in the unseen. Imagine opening a box that always contains something new. That's the creative's religion, unshakable faith that something will emerge from the void. This faith sustained Van Gogh, who never sold a painting in his lifetime, yet never stopped creating. The most powerful principle for starting any creative project is deceptively simple. Begin before you're ready. Our enemy isn't lack of preparation, but resistance itself. Our brain produces endless excuses why we can't proceed. By starting before we're ready, we demonstrate courage that the gods recognize. Research often becomes subtle procrastination. Limit yourself to 3 books on your subject. Don't overthink. Let ideas percolate in your unconscious. When creating, swing for the seats. A home run swing resulting in a strikeout beats a successful bunt. Start with power. You can always dial back later. Try outlining your entire project on a single sheet of paper using the classic 3-part structure: beginning, middle, and end. When planning, work backwards. Begin at the finish. If you're writing a movie, solve the climax first. If opening a restaurant, start with the diner's desired experience. Ask yourself, what is this about? What's the theme? When you know that, you'll know the end state and the steps to reach it. With our concept established, we're ready to fill gaps between major beats. For first drafts, focus entirely on momentum. Get them done quickly without worrying about quality. Move from A to Z as if the devil were breathing down your neck. During this phase, suspend all self-judgment. The inner critic isn't welcome. Only one thing matters: get something done, however flawed. When ideas emerge that seem dark, weird, or unconventional, follow them. Suspending judgment means freeing yourself from expectations about what your work ought to be. Stay stupid. Follow your unconventional heart. Ideas don't arrive linearly. They come according to their own logic: the middle before the end, or the end before the beginning. Keep a recorder or notepad handy to capture them before they vanish. The creative process involves 2 stages: action and reflection. Never do both simultaneously. For first drafts, prioritize action. Trust the unconscious. Your idea is smarter than you are. Your job isn't to control it, but to discover what it wants to be. And then you hit the wall. Terror strikes without warning. Your confidence collapses. You wake in night sweats, that "you suck" voice howling in your head. You're on the verge of breakthrough and can't bear it. You're halfway through, far enough to have invested serious time, money, hopes, even identity, but not far enough to see the end. You've rounded Cape Horn, gales shriek, ice encases the masts, no way back, no way forward. Welcome to hell. Now you're feeling the symptoms. Now you're ready to listen. The first principle of resistance is that there is an enemy. In our feel-good world, we've been conditioned to believe darkness is merely illusion. It isn't. An intelligent, malign force works against us. The enemy is inside you, but it is not you. You aren't to blame for resistance's voices in your head. Picasso had that same voice, Einstein too. If you've got a head, you've got resistance. No moral judgment attaches to its presence. Just when everything seems to be going well, the big crash arrives. A predictable crisis stemming from something done or neglected at the project's beginning. Though painful, crashes benefit us by forcing growth and compelling us to solve problems we created. Creative panic signals advancement. Our greatest fear isn't failure, but success. When we begin overcoming self-doubt, panic strikes. Like a child taking first steps before retreating to safety, this indicates we're crossing a threshold to a higher plane. In the belly of the beast, we rely on stupidity, stubbornness, and blind faith. A professional doesn't take success or failure personally. The crash is simply a problem to solve. Finishing is critical, what Seth Godin calls shipping. When we ship, we declare our work ready and send it into the world. This takes tremendous courage and killer instinct. We must not only defeat the monster, but drive a stake through its heart. After shipping your work, whether finishing a novel, losing weight, kicking addiction, or facing any adversity, you've joined an elite, invisible fraternity. You've created new life. Even if future projects fail, you've accomplished what few actually perform. But remember, resistance never dies. Like the Terminator, it morphs into crueler forms and returns daily. Positioning, branding, marketing, and creating authentic art will continue to demand your maturity. The ultimate victory isn't completing one project, but embracing the creative life. When Pressfield finished his first novel, his mentor simply said, "Good for you. Now start the next one. Celebrate, then get back to work tomorrow." The battle against resistance is never truly won, but it can be fought successfully each day. Stay stupid. Trust the soup. Start before you're ready. Every creative act is an act of war against the forces that would keep us small, afraid, and unfulfilled. Your work matters. Do it anyway.